Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Ray Graff. It's our monthly edition of Pets and Vets Today. And joining us are Dr. Susan Sekulli of Just Cats Veterinary Clinic in Guilderland at Saratoga and Dr. Chris Dallas of Ancient Arts Holistic Veterinary Services in Saratoga Springs. If you have a question about your dog or your cat, give us a call. 800-348-2551. That's the phone number. 800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Now remember, not nine paragraphs. If you can distill the issue with your kitty cat or dog in a paragraph or two, we're all over it. Dr. Sekulli, Dr. Dallas, your pet questions coming after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. I'm Ray Graff, Pets and Vets Today, and this is exciting. It's always fun to welcome back Dr. Susan Sekulli. Dr. Sekulli is a vet who has been specializing in kitty cats for more than 25 years. She focuses on the entire cat's health, addressing behavior, nutrition, providing medical and surgical care. Dr. Chris Dallas specializes in treatment of chronic health issues in pets using an integrative approach with an emphasis on Chinese medicine. And she specializes in veterinary acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, geriatric care, and nutrition counseling. If you have a question about your dog or cat, maybe something funny going on there, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email us, and several people already have, voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Chris Dallas, how are we?
Oh, doing well. We're in that final stretch of school, so things are about to get busy with recitals and taekwondo tests and piano lessons.
Oh, yes, so, yeah. Indeed.
So, and I know you know because you've got it
I know.
Times several.
So. I've been beaten into submission, yeah. For sure. Susan Sekulli, how are you?
I'm great, and you know, it's springtime. And our favorite thing to do when it gets warm like yesterday was Curver's Ice Cream.
Ooh, out on Central Way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're open, huh? Oh, they are open.
I love how that building hasn't changed since like the 60s.
Yeah. I did a picture in front of it. And I'm thinking, gosh, I should have done this every year for the last
You know what I like that my kids don't like? And maybe it's because I'm old, but I love the chocolate malt. Do they still have that?
They probably do.
Yeah.
That's kind of a classic.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids don't like that little extra.
No, it's a little too sweet.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Oh, maybe it goes good with a chili dog, though. Really good. Oh, yeah. Probably not good for the blood sugar and whatnot. Yeah. Anything you guys want to talk about before we get rolling here with the questions?
No, I don't think anything special.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is from Jill in Mountainville. I've been reading online that tuna is not good for cats because too much can cause mercury poisoning and its iodine levels can contribute to hyperthyroidism, but the only food my 12-year-old Tabby will eat has tuna in it, even the ones labeled chicken, turkey, and duck. Should I be concerned? That's from Jill in Mountainville.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah. Mixed proteins.
Those food manufacturers know exactly how to put that into almost every cat food,
I think it entices them. That must be why they do it.
Tuna?
Must be, There's got to be something with the flavor. I don't know. I try to avoid it as an exclusive meal. For sure. I really do. I'm sure you have a big...
Yeah, same thing. But I think if it's like the fourth ingredient in a can, I don't know that I would worry too much about it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid growing up, we had a Seal Point Siamese, lived to be 18 or 19, only ate 9 lives tuna in the can, like every day.
I feel like I hear those stories all the time, where people are like, my dog only ate Old Roy and lived to be 19 years old.
That's right. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
All right, here's what it is. This is from Catherine. I have just one two-year-old German Shepherd who loves to play with tennis balls. Oh. But I've recently heard they can be harmful to dogs' teeth. If it's true, are there any other types of balls that you recommend might be a safer option? Mm. And that's from Catherine.
Well, it is true that tennis balls are guilty or can cause the wearing of the teeth. Although some dogs have softer teeth than others. So that's something that you could kind of test out and keep an eye on. But as far as other balls, I would go to a pet store and see what they're selling. But I bet there's some rubber, I don't know the names of the brands offhand, but And I know a lot of dogs like to chase Kongs, which don't bounce like a ball. They're kind of oblong shaped, so they bounce in a fun way. And it,
really?
Yeah.
Kong?
Kongs. It's like a toy that you can throw and bounce, but also you can stuff it with treats and freeze them, and it's like a yeah, like a frozen treat for dogs. So I would say go with a Kong. Anything made by Kong is generally safe. So
these are only because they chew on the
there's
ball?
Even with the carrying, I mean, some dogs just want to retrieve all day long.
You're teaching me something. See,
it can wear down their teeth, but again, some dogs have softer teeth than others. So okay. And I have seen dogs wear them down to the nubs and they're fine.
Okay. This is from Lisa. Another kitty food question. My old kitty eats small amounts of his wet food throughout the day. How long can you safely leave wet food out?
Oh, a while.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to put it right back in the refrigerator, and the cats hate it
when
it's cold.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
At least 12 hours. Yeah. I mean, I keep it from the morning till nighttime.
Same.
And then that's what we do. And then at night then we restock, here you go.
Yeah. But by then, usually the can's gone.
Yeah.
Actually. All right. This is about dog neutering and marking. This is from Billy. Will getting my male dog neutered stop him from marking?
It might reduce the amount. It'll definitely reduce the odor of the urine. There's a hormone that has a strong odor in intact male urine. But it's also a behavior that they, even neutered dogs will do it. And if they were neutered later, it often will continue. But maybe a little bit less.
All right.
We hope.
All right, let's see here. This is from Bonnie in Lee, Massachusetts. Our 3-year-old Aussie Doodle or Doddle gets car sick. She vomits 1 to 2 times each trip, longer than a half hour.
Yeah.
We open the windows, have her secured as closely as safely possible near the front of the car. Any advice? And that's from Bonnie and Lee.
Yeah, so I usually have people not feed their pets before getting in the car. At least 2 or 3 hours before they can feed them. But also Dramamine works for dogs.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a little calming, too.
Yep.
All right. We're just blasting through these emails. The number here is 800-348-2551, and we'll get to those on the other side of our first break in a few minutes. It's Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Chris Dallas today, Pets and Vets. This is from Joe in Ulster County. My cat likes to lie under the shade of my garden plants, so clearly it's his territory. He's fine with me being in the garden, picking flowers or veggies, but as soon as I am lower down on the ground and start digging in any way with my hands in the dirt, he comes and bites my hands. I can't figure out if he's saying it's his territory or if he thinks I'm petting the ground that he gets jealous or what. I can't figure it out. Would the experts have any ideas?
Oh, my gosh.
I think he's playing.
Yeah.
I think he thinks you're coming down to his level.
Yeah.
And do it in the attack mode. That sounds...
I don't know.
Cats are so weird.
They are such weirdos. Yeah. I never can explain their behaviors.
And our kitty loves the garden, too. Just
right?
Hang out.
Oh, they just...
And they jump around. Like, they'll play even if you don't see anything.
They did that whole study where they watched feral cats that are out in the wild to trace what they spent their time doing out in the wild. And a fair number of them spent like 20% or whatever just exploring. You know, just doing that kind of stuff that we're explaining. And it's like, huh. So that's why you have to make that house look a little different each day to give them something to explore.
Okay. Mm. This is from Cindy, who is, I don't know where Cindy is. I have a 13-year-old Japanese bobtail that is the most friendly and loving cat ever. About a year ago, she began urinating on furniture and other random places. Within the past few months, she has started pooping all over the house as well. Mm. I brought her to the vet several times. Once she had a slight urinary tract infection, but otherwise healthy. I have 3 boxes all around the house for her, which you will use periodically, but not on a regular basis. Anything I can do?
How old?
13.
Ooh. Thinking arthritis, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Yeah. Well, sometimes cats can't get in the box because their arthritis is flaring up, so that would be one rule out. Constipation.
Yeah.
Previous episodes of constipation can cause almost an aversion to the litter box.
Mm.
Did she change the type of litter, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
They just change it by a little, you know, the new and improved, and all of a sudden it smells like, nope, not using that.
Yeah. Right.
So I would look for those.
In general, You go for scented or not scented?
Unscented.
Unscented.
Yeah. Unscented, yeah. Yeah.
Scented bad for the cat, or just most cats hate it?
Hate it, yeah. I guess they do it for us, right? The scented. And,
right.
Yeah, and it smells lovely.
It.
Yeah, that's. All right, Caroline writes, my cat began putting his body just inside the litter box, and as a result, he misses. It all lands outside the box. This show's already off to a good start. We have a big tote that he uses now, but it's challenging to cover it in a way that masks the smell and also allows him to get in and out. We want to move the litter box to the basement and have tried, but he refuses to go down there. Any advice?
Well, I just moved my litter box to the basement, and I had to step it across the room and then put it on the landing of the stairs. And
move
then
it slowly.
Yes, it was a slow process. It took me six
Did
months to move
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're coming down there now.
Yeah.
But as far as getting him in, I think it might be the same. How old was that cat?
Deleted it.
That's okay.
Take notes, please.
So one suggestion I have is take a large, clear tote and cut the end out of it and make that the litter box so that just make it bigger for them, especially if they're having trouble getting in and out or they're just, you accommodate cats. You don't.
Yeah.
Don't change them.
All right, last one, and this is another cat question, and then we'll take a break.
Way to go, cats.
How about that, huh? 800-348-2551. We'll do dog questions, too. So,
fine.
Eileen in Rosendale says, my cat almost died from liver problem, possibly an infection. Bilirubin was off the chart. The only thing that saved him was 24-hour IV fluids for 3 days. Why did that work? Also, his doctor said cats don't usually like the prescription liver diet food, so she recommended kidney diet instead. What do you think? Can you recommend a percentage of fat that I should look for? He's eating very well, and that's from Eileen in Rosendale.
Oh, wow.
That's all you. That's your specialty. It's above my
pay
grade.
We actually just had a cat coming in with very high bilirubin.
What's bilirubin?
Bilirubin is... got byproduct of the gallbladder.
Ah, okay.
And so when that gets out, jaundice.
Okay.
They're yellow.
Roger.
And so when they're coming in like that, there's many ways, reasons for it, but this one was hepatic lipidosis, so the cat just stops eating. So we ended up putting an esophageal feeding tube in, which is a very common thing to do nowadays, and it's years ago we used to not know how to treat. So she's lucky that it was just fluids that helped this cat, probably just diluting out the blood and getting rid of, helping the liver get rid of what it needed to do that. But there's a whole theory. Yeah, the diet. There's a whole balance even on us, right, of how much protein, how much fat, what's good fat. I think we forget how important fat is, even in the cats. And, different than carbs,
right?
And I think there's some newer theories out that we should be giving more fat, not oil, but fat,
right,
to their diets. Yeah. And I agree with you. Those liver diets, some of those are just challenging from a palatability. They can't put in, they're restrictive enough that they can't put in that tuna juice or whatever to make it more appealing.
Tuna juice. Sorry.
And actually, they could get a consult if they're open to cooking for the cat and preparing their own food. You can get a consult with some of the vet schools have nutrition.
They are. Those are good.
Consults. The nutritionists who will put together a specific diet for the cat's problem or dog's problem.
Well, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Pets and Vets today. We're going to the phones in a moment. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas are here to answer your questions. Fox Pop on WAMC. It's Pets and Vets today, 800-348-2551. The guests are here, and they're in fine form already. Dr. Chris Dallas from Ancient Arts Veterinary in Saratoga Springs, and also Dr. Susan Ciculli from Just Cats. So let's hit the phones. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a dog question at some point. And we're not quite sure how we say your name in Chester. Is it Muna?
Nina.
Oh, Nina. Hi. Go ahead.
Hi. This is going to be a weird question.
Oh, good.
Again, a cat question.
All right.
I just got a a stray cat from someone who couldn't keep her. I've had her for about a month, and she's very friendly. Everything's great. There's no problems there, except we don't know where she is. We heard her running around and playing at 4 in the morning. I got up at 6 in the morning, and there's no cat. We looked everywhere, and there was no doors open, no windows open. What do I do now? Wait, or...
You heard her in the house, or you could hear her outside?
She's not an outside cat.
Okay.
We heard her from the room above playing. She has toys. And at night, she runs and plays with the toys. This was 4 a.m. And then at 6 a.m., I woke up, and she's usually waiting at the bedroom door to be fed. And she wasn't there. And my husband and I, we looked all over in the house. We looked everywhere, in the dryer, in the cabinets, under the beds, everywhere. No doors or windows were open, and we cannot find her. Even now, we're still looking.
It's like a Twilight Zone.
I guess there's nothing we can do, right?
I did one time lose a cat in a box spring. So he had gotten into the box spring and couldn't get out. So check and make sure there are no... If you have box springs, you'll see a lump.
Yep. Okay.
Or under a couch. They sometimes have
same
the same
thing with
kind
the
of liner. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, man.
We've looked at... And she's... you call her name and she'll run to you like a dog normally.
Yeah.
So if she's stuck, obviously she can't do that, but... my husband thinks she got out, but how could she get out when there's no door or window open?
I mean, in fairness, we don't really have a copy of the floor plan of the house, Nina, but, I got to say, chances are the cat will find you.
Yeah.
Please let us know next time, because it's so interesting.
One last question. We have an appointment to have her spayed, April 16th. Do you think she's maybe was pregnant when I got her?
Is she in heat? Could she be old enough to be in heat?
I don't know. I don't think,
pregnant.
She was so skinny and she was skin and bones when I got her. And now she's heavier, but that's because we've been feeding her. So
but it's an inside cat, though.
What happens?
How's that going to happen?
She could have been pregnant when I, but she could have been pregnant when I got her.
How long have you had her?
A month.
Ooh, I think we're figuring this out. Yeah. We are like mystery people. I think you've done it.
All right.
So be careful. She might be having little kittens around, and
this is
they
exciting.
Are really. They can hide
all
for
right,
that.
Well, I'll call you if we ever find her.
Yeah.
Good luck
with
her.
They'll go into walls and find holes
they
in the wall.
Will.
Oh wow.
Yep, keep putting the food out for her. She'll come for that.
Yeah.
Kitty Columbo. That's Patricia's in Stockbridge. You're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I got a cat question. Sorry, guys.
No doubt. Don't apologize.
And it's a litter box question, I bet.
So I have a cat. She's a calico. Had her for a long time. She's probably about 10 years old now. She has been for years now peeing outside the box. And my suspicion is that she pees wherever another animal has peed before. I don't know if that's true or not. But I have a multi-cat household right now, and it's just ridiculous. So she's picked a spot and she pees there. And, that maybe she'll change her mind in a while, or if I put down a lot of, some kind of smelly stuff, she might not pee there, but it goes on and on and on. And it's really been a problem. She's been tested for urinary tract infections. She doesn't have one. She has had them over the years, but she does not have one. And it's just so annoying. And I don't know what to do. She will not pee in the house. In the box. If I put down like a towel, she'll choose that towel right over the spot that, she normally pees on. And it goes on and on. I don't know what to do.
If you put her in the bathroom by herself and a box, have you ever tried that and trying to retrain her on the box? Like isolate her for a week however long it takes?
Could try that. She does. She typically will go into the tub.
And go to the bathroom there?
She does once in a while, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if she gets to go into the bathroom, she'll use the tub.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow, that's tough.
It's the strange. It's the weirdest thing, and it's just it's very annoying.
How does she get along with the other cats?
She's okay. She doesn't like them. They don't like her. She's a calico, so, you know, they don't typically interact really well.
The part of the bathroom might be because she might want to be by herself. So maybe putting her in one room.
Well, even when she was by when she was by herself for a very long time in another house, she still would do it. And she didn't start doing it when she was a very little kitten. She started, I'd say she was probably about a year or two old when she started doing it.
Have drugs been used?
Yes.
By the cat?
Have drugs?
By you.
No drugs. But...
Well, we sometimes do. No. I was kidding. No drugs for you. But we do use anti-anxiety drugs. That might be the next step.
Feel away and things like that? It won't help?
Yeah, I think at this point we need strong stuff, and so
pull out the Prozac,
like drugs,
Prozac, yeah,
okay.
Duloxetine, yep.
But it can be a miracle. Like if it's the right thing, it will.
Yes,
it works.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so try.
I wouldn't hesitate.
Have the vet try some drugs. I mean, the vet thinks she's, you know, the vet doesn't really know what's going on either. But she just said this is. You know, it seems like a chronic problem, and it's behavioral and blah, blah. And it just, I don't know.
You are a
so
saint.
So drug.
Yeah.
You're a saint for dealing with it.
Well, I want to kill her. A lot of
no, you can't say that on the radio.
Only metaphorically.
All right. I'll never do that.
I know.
She's a big daddy.
Thanks, Patricia.
All right. Well, I'll try it. Thank you so much. All right, great.
Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Yeah. What do you think about line three? Maybe a dog question? Drake and Saugerties, you're on.
Yay.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi. So I don't have a cat question. Oh. I have a question about my dog. And I adopted him a little over a year ago. And since I've adopted him, he suffers from fairly severe diarrhea. And you see in the background. about... every other month, it lasts for 2 or 3 days, and then it goes away completely. At the same time, he has this rash on his abdomen. So, I mean, he's been to the vet several times. They've taken samples. They said they didn't find any type of parasite.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably do an extensive, like, there's an extensive diarrhea panel, it's called, and they can look.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like the basic fecals that we do, and then there's like a more extensive panel. It's like a PCR where they're actually looking for the genetic material of various bugs. I would at least do that to rule out anything obscure. Otherwise, you know, we'd be looking at some kind of, well, first of all, is it like a mucousy kind of thing or watery or what blood, is there fresh blood or anything?
No, there's not that. He doesn't have any, lethargy or loss of appetite or anything accompanying it. Yes, it's very watery. Mm. It happens abruptly in the middle of the night. It actually, unfortunately, follows this pattern where suddenly it happens and then it lasts for a day or two and then it's just gone completely and it comes back 6 weeks to 8 weeks later.
Oh, that's interesting. I would probably, if you rule out some sort of, you know, obscure, you know, infection, I would consider playing around with his food a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Is he on kibble or what do you feed him?
Well, I've been trying to do that to sort of see if it, perhaps it was a food allergy and experimenting. He's on he gets a couple of dry kibble and then it's supplemented with like brown rice, pumpkin, probiotic, a powder.
Okay.
He gets a sardine water without no sodium, sardine. Because the vet said maybe it was chicken that was often the culprit, so he's just on fish as an animal protein source.
Yeah, it's just interesting. He's got this cyclical nature to it, so that's just an interesting...
And it doesn't seem to matter. Occasionally, I do introduce something else to him because I feel, you know, so guilty. He's eating pretty much the same thing every day.
Sure.
So, but it doesn't seem to trigger...
Yeah.
You know, that he doesn't have a sensitive stomach in terms of food, I guess, that I can tell, because he can eat just about anything and usually he's fine. Yeah.
That's so interesting. And there's nothing stressful in the family, like you, somebody going away every 6 weeks that would be timed with that?
No, not at all.
Ooh, that's an interesting
one. I mean, I just wonder, he was a rescue, he was from Louisiana, he's a pit bull. And I don't know if I just thought maybe, you know, is there some type of strange...
Whoops, we lost
it. Oh, dear. Something that maybe hatches every six weeks or
cicadas
whatever.
Cicadas and so.
Yeah.
Make sure when he brings that the diarrhea in when they runs that fecal sample, not
good
when
point.
It's normal.
Okay. Very good point.
Well, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate that one. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Pets and Vets today with Dr. Chris Dallas and Dr. Susan Zakuli. Let's go to Marissa, who is somewhere in New York. Marissa, where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello. Is this Marissa?
No, this is Martha.
Ah, okay. Well, we're close enough. The screen says Marissa, but either way, we like you very much. Where are you calling from?
Gansert, New York.
Ah, okay. Go ahead. You're on.
Okay. Well, I was calling about the foster dog I have. I have two of them. But in view of what they were saying about the cats missing the boxes, I've put my cat kitty litter box in a large dog crate.
Nice.
And it keeps it from getting all over. And if she misses, she just, you know,
that's
goes in the dog crate.
Brilliant.
I mean, I don't know whether you want something big like that, but it's,
that's a great idea.
Yeah,
it works.
Beautiful. Mm.
That's great.
But what I was calling about was my dog. And I was lying in bed, and the dog was lying next to me. And I have another little one on the lower part. And I was feeling these vibrations. It was like shivering or trembling. It was very steady. And it went on. I thought maybe he's having a bad dream. I stroked him. Nothing changed. He kept doing this. And it went on for quite a while. And I began to wonder whether it was some sort of seizure. I had initially felt it, you know, sort of a vibration on the bed. It was very steady, and, it was like either shivering or trembling, but it was steady.
And how long did it last?
5 minutes, maybe, or
And
something like that.
How old is he?
Well, I'm not sure. Hmm. I asked the head of the humane group, and she thought 13 years, but then she said, well, you'd better ask the woman that was fostering him before. Mm. So I haven't gotten around to, but he's grossly overweight, and he's got a fatty tumor under his belly that I think I'm going to have taken off on July 29th. Mm. But, I mean, he feels like he could have a lot of tumors in all of that. It's a very tight... heaviness under his he doesn't look as big, you know, heavy and big as he is to look at him.
Right.
He's sort of like a beige Scotty. I mean, that's what he looks like. I don't know what really he is.
I don't know what to say about the trembling, but I would say if it continues, that would prompt for me, I'd want to have him looked at. And
I also thought, could it be pain?
It can be pain. It could be digestive pain. It could be arthritic pain, although I would expect the arthritic pain to flare up more often. But, you know, if he had just eaten, let's say, an hour or two before, I've seen...
No, it was early this morning. We were still in bed sleeping.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I would say if it just keeps up, I think that would prompt, at least a visit to the vet, maybe a set of labs just to make sure everything's okay.
But it didn't sound like it would be a seizure.
No, it doesn't. Seizures can look a number of ways, but that's not the first thing. 5 minutes is probably a little too long for a seizure.
Okay. Marissa.
Marissa. Marissa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Martha.
Martha.
Oh, Martha. Oh, I thought it was Marissa.
All right, fair enough. It's all right. Okay, so before we take a break here on this edition of Pets and Vets, several people have weighed in with some possible theories on the missing cat.
Yes.
All right.
Love it.
So we'll start out with Andrea, who says, check the heat ducts.
Heat ducts?
It happened to my moth-in-law, I assume.
Mother.
Yeah, check for moths in the heat ducts. All right. That's one.
A heat duct.
And then,
going into the heat duct.
Could be. Molly in West Hurley says, when I got my rescue kitty, she went missing. I finally found her in the bottom of my grand piano.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, this is so fun. I know. Everybody's helping
and then
us.
Also,
with
Ed
this.
And Skodak says, check the heating duct. So that's two of those. And I think there's one more. Oh, yeah. Kevin in Greenfield. I recall that when I was a child, our cat at the time disappeared for a few days, and then we were hearing tiny meows from a drawer in the attic. So check everything, basically.
Right. She did drawers say she got the closets, but you're right, drawers.
Yeah, they can get into
somebody
drawers.
Somebody could shut that drawer.
Yeah. All right.
Or if there's like up and under.
Yes. Yeah.
Leave all the drawers open. There you go.
This is so exciting. Let's take a break.
She better tell us what happened.
I need to just calm down for a few. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Pets and Vets. Susan Ciculli, Chris Dallas. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Pets and Vets. Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas are with us to answer your important questions about your important pets. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. A couple more emails, and then we'll zip back to the phones. This is on not a topic about a missing cat potentially in a heating duct. This is from Andrew. I'm so fascinated by the variety of dog foods being sold today. But what did people feed their dogs 100 years ago?
Yeah.
Can't we just make a simple, clean dog food at home using wholesome ingredients, protein, veggies, starch, and portion control? Dog food seems so processed and overmarketed.
Yes, to all of that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is all just a product of our enormous meat industry, beautifully marketed with pretty labels. It is unbelievable. It's exploded. I'm not a fan. I'm not a huge fan of all the processed food either. So, yes, 100 years ago, dogs were scavengers, and they probably also didn't live to be 18 and 19. Although, again, back to what we were saying earlier, a lot of people do report that in the 50s and 60s, their pets lived a really long time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they ate leftovers. So, maybe it's all well-intentioned, or maybe it's all just driven by capitalist greed, but
it's also convenience.
It's convenience.
My
it
cat is convenience.
Loves
it
rabbit. I'm not going to go catch and kill rabbits right. so my cat can eat.
And I barely can get dinner on the table 5 nights a week for my family, so to also prepare food for my dog would be hard.
Yeah.
If I was smarter, I might, you know, make foods and then just put aside a portion for the dog, but I just don't. There's too many things happening
and
in my life.
And you have to be informed. So, you're right. You really have to look at what the ingredients are.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right.
But capitalism is amazing, because I see these ads now on TV, and I've never had a dog, but it's real dog. It's real food. I got to be honest with you. It looks pretty good. I get a little hungry, you know? This is from Darren in Southampton. We have a healthy 3-year-old dog who's a St. Bernard Husky Shepherd mix.
Aww.
Recently, during his yearly checkup, the vet asked if he was being fed a grain-free diet.
Mm-hmm.
The vet indicated that with larger dogs, it's recommended to feed the dog a diet that includes grain. You guys recommend the same?
Absolutely. We've had this conversation. Yeah,
it seems to be, although I just was sent an interview that I have yet to listen to about the study that all of the recommendations are being made
Davis
on,
study?
That it's a very tiny study, and it was maybe not as valid. But right now, cardiologists are telling us to stay away from grain-free foods. And I'm not even sure that that means they need grain as much as they need to maybe not have the legumes that are being put in the grain-free foods.
Are they still studying this? Or
yes, it's, yeah.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a while. It's hard to prove causation, so.
All right, here's one that is, kind of sad. This is from Sarah in Hudson. I have an Irish wolfhound named Ned. Going to be 7 this June. As a giant breed, I've been sadly emotionally preparing for his departure since he was a puppy. As heartbreaking as it is for losing a beloved pet, how can I prepare for a dog of this size passing away? He's about 150 pounds. I'm hoping he can pass peacefully at home when the time comes, but honestly don't know who to call or what to do with his remains that is respectful and permitted for my area. For the record, he's still seemingly perfectly healthy and happy, and I'm thankful for each additional birthday he celebrates. That is from Sarah in Hudson.
In Hudson.
Hudson.
I don't know that they go that far down.
Yeah, because we have the at-home
euthanasias
that come right to the home, and they take the bodies back
with
them.
That's right. They do a wonderful job.
Nice.
But down in Hudson, I'm not sure who's down there. But that would be a good conversation to have with her veterinarian.
Yeah.
Just to,
I love making those plans with people ahead of time so they just know They have the plan. It's just like with our own bodies, too.
So this is a serious question for my own benefit. When Mitchell kicks the bucket, I'm not allowed to dig a deep hole and bury Mitchell in my backyard.
I don't know the rules. Are you in Albany?
Well, Albany County.
Albany County. Yeah. I don't know the rules, but...
But, I mean, is that usually what people do?
I have.
Are we on the record?
Yeah.
Well, we're on the radio. Yeah. Not sure. Well, why don't we just leave that one alone?
Yeah. There you go. I'll just say my yard is a pet cemetery.
Do I know of many clients that bury them in their backyard? Yes. Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Deep enough.
How deep?
We go 3.5-4 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to definitely make sure the scavengers. Yeah. That's a happy thought. All right. This is from Sue. I don't know how to say this. Keyshound. Who presented with epilepsy late in life at age 11 and a half. Fellow dog housemate attacked him while I was at work and bit him up and down his body. The two dogs grew up sleeping in the same bed, never had any issues. I'm struggling with coming to terms with her hurting him. We decided with our vet that it was time to let him go when he got him to the vet that day. Why did it happen? And that's from Sue.
It happens. I think it's a threat. I have a cat who seizures, and the first thing I do when she has a seizure is I go get my
other
cats.
Cat away.
Yep. I don't go anywhere near the seizuring cat. I make sure she's protected. And she would be attacked. So I think it's just they're just protecting. It's an instinct to protect the rest of the pack. So they did euthanize the dog?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think there's also a part of that cat's acting different. Mm-hmm. And they don't know it's the fight or flight or freeze, and they're fighting back by attacking because they don't understand the behavior that they're now seeing from. Because I see it in cats that come to the clinic, and one of them's really, really stressed, and they come in the carrier together, which is not good.
Not a good idea.
And so all of a sudden they're like attacking, and they never attack each other at home, but they're in this high stress situation, and they. You know, I guess people do that too.
Yeah, for sure.
We direct aggression. Yeah.
You know, but in that instance, the dog that was bitten, right? Euthanized. Would you also give some thought to euthanizing the other one?
Probably not, especially if this was an isolated incident.
Yeah.
You know, that was just such an extenuating circumstance. I don't think I would do that.
All right, we got to go back to the phones here, but just one other thought from Gabriella on the missing cat.
Oh, good.
This happened with my cat, says Gabriella. He ended up in the basement drop ceiling. We finally heard a meowing between the floors.
Wow.
Okay. So cats do get lost.
Yeah.
You know, you need one of those heat seeker cameras that can go in.
Thermal imaging.
That's it.
Yes. Yes. Now we're getting somewhere.
There are also animal communicators who specialize in missing pets.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding
you. Mean not dead pets?
No,
is that
missing
one of those
pets.
Clairvoyant
pets
no.
in the house? Oh,
missing
we have
pets.
Many solutions for this woman. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to hear the outcome.
I'm going to be honest with you. This show's off the rails completely. All right. Let's go to Saugerties. Shelley, you're on.
Hi. So I have a little terrier dog. She's a mix-up, and she's about 8 or 9 years old. And she has been having these kind of sounds like breathing problems, a lot like panting, and she is an excitable dog, but this is you just to know that something is going on. I did talk to the vet about it, and the vet gave me a name of what we're probably looking at. It's a tracheal collapse.
Do you hear a goose honk? Is it like a goose honk sound that you're hearing?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just panting.
Yeah, panting, very loud, breathing, very loud. More and stronger, it seems to me.
Okay. When I hear of loud panting, I do think of a laryngeal paralysis. Does that sound familiar? Was that talked about?
No.
Okay.
Could you say that again?
Yeah, laryngeal paralysis. So there's two pieces of cartilage in the larynx that cover up the airway, and there's a nerve that fails to do its job, usually on one side, and it can sound loud when they're panting. I tend to see it in larger breed dogs more than small dogs. So that would be a potential rule out. But there's no coughing. You're not hearing any coughing. So one thing to consider is if your dog runs hot and is panting a lot in general and you want to ease the amount of heat, do consider not feeding chicken. There are warming foods and cooling foods, so you could switch to cooling food like fish or turkey. Yeah.
Hang on. We'll finish with Shelly, and then I have some questions for you.
I'm also, my mouth is wide open.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny. It's a Chinese medical principle. However, it's kind of being recognized now. I've noticed that all the Benson's employees are trained in this and are telling my clients, like, oh, do you need a cooling protein or a warming protein? So that's just one thing to consider, is to help your dog cool off a little bit, feed cooling foods. You can look that up online and just look up Chinese principles.
So I just feed her raw meat, mostly like weeks of the raw turkey stuff, and then I'll switch to the raw chicken stuff.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, they make it at the butcher here. We're very lucky.
Nice. That's great. So maybe stick with turkey and beef rather than the chicken for a little while and just see. And I'm not saying that that's what's causing the breathing problem, but I'm wondering if panting and being hot would make her breathing problems worse.
Okay. Well, Shelly, thanks a lot. Yeah. Susan, have you ever heard about this heating and cooling?
Really? I'm trained in Chinese medicine. That's where we met.
All right. Give me the I don't care so much about the animals. Does it work with people?
Yes.
Is the same principle at work?
100%.
So what's the cooling protein and what's the heating protein?
Well, there's a whole list, but your heating proteins are going to be chicken, mutton, venison. So lamb and venison. And then your cooling proteins are going to be like duck, turkey, fish, white fish for sure.
Where's rabbit?
Rabbit. Rabbit, it depends on whether it's raised or wild, interestingly.
Yeah.
So your prey, fast-moving animals are going to be warmer, typically, and your kind of slow-moving animals are going to be cooler.
Now, I do not look askance at Eastern medicine in any way.
Yeah.
But is there any sort of Western study or science that would bear this out?
Probably not. Nobody's interested in testing that. You need money to test things.
Yeah.
There's no money in that, but I can attest to it myself. I grow 50 cucumber plants a summer because I'm hot these days and it cools me off. So, and there's just certain things when you eat them, you feel it. Your body warms up.
Nutrition is just amazing.
It is.
I really love the whole discussion of it in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a Food Friday for pets one of these days? What do you think?
Good. Yeah. That would be fun.
We'll see if I have any openings, 26, 27. We'll find. Well, let's go to Betty in Ulster Park. Betty, you're on.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So I have a 13-year-old male tuxedo cat. He's always kind of had trouble with hairballs, but this year he was really, throwing up a lot after eating, and so we finally took him to the vet, and they did an ultrasound, and they said it could either be lymphoma or it could be an inflammatory bowel. So they've treated him with he's currently still on prednisone once a day, and they also gave him mirtazapine and to stimulate the appetite, and then Serenzia maybe it is for anti-nausea.
Okay.
So anyway, so now he's ravenous. I've had to feed him three times a day now, and he's constantly looking for food. He hasn't thrown up except once.
Okay.
And I just was wondering, once the prednisone is done, my main question was, are we humans? When he gets sick again, we'll start up again, or what do we do? I just wondering what your opinion was.
Yeah, so good to hear that the medication's working. It's a very common what you described, and I'm glad you did the workup so that you were able to get a more definitive diagnosis. I don't know if you're going to want to stop the prednisolone because it...
Oh, okay.
And so you want to find the lowest effective dose. And the side effect you're seeing with the increased appetite now is because the prednisone, that's what it typically will do. So you got to balance all of those meds. I mean, maybe try without the mirtazapine for right now, right? Because that's an appetite stimulant, and it sounds like you don't need that.
I think he's doing well. Yeah, so we're holding that.
Yeah. And then experiment with foods. You know, I go back to Dr. Dallas's conversations about see which one is better for him to decrease, you know, make the amount of pred that you have to use the least amount.
But that takes time, right? Mm-hmm. Doing that sort of home research takes time. All right, Betty, you want to follow up real fast?
We've tried some of these more expensive foods when he first had this thing come up last year, and he won't eat it. So I don't know if I should try it again now that his appetite's better. But we use Purina Proplan, you know, that's for sensitive stomach, and he's holding it down. But do you think we got to go even more refined?
No, I guess I would stay with that, since that one he seems to be tolerating well, and then try adjusting the food.
Okay.
Thanks, Betty. Appreciate the call. You know, I love watching the reaction from you two. And Susan, I could just tell by your reaction. Oh, yeah, I've heard this one before. And both of you all the time. We've seen this. It's very funny. All right, one more quick call and then a couple more emails with some thoughts about the missing cat inside the house. Let's go to Barry in Poughkeepsie. Barry, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a mixed breed dog. She's about 5.5 years old. We had her since she was a puppy. And she was very friendly as a puppy, but as she's gotten older, become very aloof. And like if we go to pet her, she's sitting on the couch, she'll get up and walk into the other room. If you try and sit down next to her, she'll do the same thing.
Aww.
But interestingly, outside, she's much friendlier with us. And I can't really figure out if there was a triggering event. We used to have somebody stay in our house and dog sit in the house, and it's possible it might have started after somebody did some dog sitting for us. So I'm just wondering if there's something that we can do to encourage her to be friendly. Or she used to sleep with us in the bed when she was younger, and now we can't even sit next to her.
Yeah, I have a lot of experience with this. I'm guessing this is just her constitution. In Chinese medicine, we would say that she's a metal constitution. They're a bit
metal.
Yeah, they're a bit standoffish and aloof. And if you go to give them hugs and kisses, they kind of walk away and don't want any part of that. I lived with a dog like that, and actually, they tend to live a long time. They tend to be the most long-lived of the Chinese constitutions. And he did. He was a
Emotional attachments. It's very nice.
Well, they don't use up their energy.
Right.
They kind of, they hold it in. And he lived to be 17. He was a shepherd mix.
Wow, yeah.
So the only thing I found made him give me the time of day was if I had treats. So
I was going to ask.
Yeah,
how food-motivated is she?
Yeah, is she food-motivated or...?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
that's...
I should try different treats, but the ones that we have are not really
inspiring her. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I doubt it was your housekeeper. It's just a constitutional.
But why is she so much friendlier outside?
That I don't know. That's interesting. But I would say the same. I've experienced that too. There's just like an excitement, but I don't know. I don't know why. That's very interesting.
All right, Barry. Thanks a lot. Let's handle this for the last minute here. There are some theories now that have been coming in about the cat that is missing inside the house.
Oh, I love it.
Looks like Mika says, have they gotten a ransom note from the mice?
Oh.
Good one. Moira in Deerfield says, I adopted a ghost cat who disappeared as soon as I let her in the house. I couldn't find her for 3 days, was completely freaked out, ultimately found her when I plopped down on my sofa and heard a little moan. It was a sleeper sofa, and she was up inside the back of the folded sofa.
Yep.
Getting her out was not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. My mother was babysitting a cat, says Susan, who hid on a small shelf in the flue area of the fireplace.
Oh,
didn't come out until his owner came back and called him.
Wow.
That's another theory. And finally, 40 years ago, my roommate's kitten disappeared. We followed her faint mews. She had slipped upstairs into the attic of our rented 19th century farmhouse and explored a gap in the unfinished interior wall.
Mm-hmm.
We found her unharmed inside the wall between our apartment and the adjacent rental. We hacked a small hole in the sheetrock and saved the cat.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And also behind a kitchen cabinet, my cat let herself into a cabinet, and the hole where the pipe came out she had gone behind the cabinet.
So interesting. Mm-hmm. Well,
so many places to hide.
Yeah. You know, I think that
I bet she's got babies. I bet you're right.
I think that
because why
be
would
it.
She suddenly just kind of
disappear?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's looking for.
This
a place.
Is one for the
she's
books nesting. Today. Yeah,
it is. That's a good one.
Cool.
Hopefully, Nina will call
I
back
hope so.
And let us know.
Yes.
All right, Dr. Susan Ciculli, Dr. Chris Dallas, thank you so much. We'll see you
thank
soon.
Thank you.
Right? Absolutely.
Support comes from ArtSpark, Saratoga Springs, New York, specializing in digital marketing for artists and arts organizations. Website design, consultations, logos, and more. ArtSpark.com. And Agricultural Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. AGStewardship.org. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to Dr. Susan Ciculli and Dr. Chris Dallas for being here. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the emails. There were a ton of them. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. We'll do it again next month. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Phone screen today by Allie Peterson. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the show, we garden. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.